Hey guys, welcome to episode 158 of the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. Now, before we begin, I need to apologize. I've had nearly a 12-month hiatus. To tell you the truth, I got a little burnt out. After 157 episodes of interviewing some of the most amazing fathers from around the world, it just consumed me. The whole social content, the podcast content, the emails, the supplements, the everything we had going on at the time. It honestly just took so much of my energy away from me that I needed a break. So, what better way to start the podcast back off with a quick real talk to get into different subjects about the early morning training regime that I stick to nearly every single day. Filling up your own cup, comparison against others, how the last 4 years have really taken away from how we view the world and how we go about the world with our kids, having a break from the socials and living in the real world, and my health journey currently, and what we have at the Fit Dad Lifestyle that could help you on your own. So guys, here's the episode. Enjoy. Hey guys, right here. So as you know, if you've been following the Fit Dad Lifestyle for a while, you will know that every single morning, 5 a.m., I'm out training somewhere, doing something, whether it be at the gym, you know, whether it be out running, hiking, you know, stuff with the kids, especially during the summer when it's lighter outside. It's where I get the time to spend on myself. It's how I get to fill up my own cup. It's how I get the motivation to go through the rest of the day. It's how I guarantee that no matter what happens through the rest of the day, whether it be through work, through life in general, through kids' sport, through sickness, through whatever else gets thrown at you throughout the day, nothing can take away from my workout at 5 a.m. in the morning. Now, one of the questions I always get asked is, you know, how do you, you know, get up at 4 a.m. to get ready for a 5 a.m. workout? It's really simple. You just got to set the alarm and just do it. And I know, you know, people are like, well, you know, how many hours sleep do you get? How do you get to, you know, go to bed so early? And how do you, you know, choose and be motivated that time in the morning? Well, for me, it's habit. Yeah, I've been doing it for the better part of a decade. And to be quite fair, I'm happy to go to bed at 8:30, 9, 9:30 at night. And sure, I get that 6 to 8 hours sleep depending on what's happening. Because realistically, you got to ask yourself, what are you doing at that time of the night anyway? You know, yeah, you might get the odd chance to have some quality alone time with the wife, but at the end of the day, you're probably just flicking on your phone. You're probably just watching a TV show or a movie, and it's sort of wasted time that, yeah, you do get time to yourself and, you know, just peace and quiet because the kids are gone to bed. But at the end of the day, does that take away from being able to spend an hour on yourself? And by that, I mean on your health and fitness at 4 or 5, you know, in the morning before you go to work. And what are the benefits and what are the, you know, bonuses of getting that session done? One, health and fitness, obviously. But two, you're setting up that goal for the, you know, the rest of the day. You're ticking that first thing off that ensures everything that happens after that is going to be positive, because you're going to be feeling amazing. You're going to be, you know, wide awake. It's not like you're waking up, rushing, getting the kids to school, and then, you know, getting to work and sitting, you know, in crazy traffic and just, you know, not with it at that time of the morning. But the other thing is, you know, it's the one time that you're not getting pulled from 26 different directions. Now, warranted, this only works if you've got a supportive, you know, wife and, you know, your kids are obviously still asleep and not needy, or, you know, not newborn and you have to be there and help out. But the simple fact of the matter is, at 5 a.m., my kids are still asleep. My wife is still asleep. And by me sacrificing, you know, getting up earlier myself, I can get my session done and it does not take away from anything else that my family's doing. As a matter of fact, when I get home, And I might go to the bakery and get some bread for the family. I might go to the servo and get some milk. I might, you know, fill up the car so the wife's got fuel for the day. You know, whatever the case may be, I can get all this done and typically get home and the family's either just waking up or, you know, they're still asleep. And that's one of the benefits of having that early morning routine and having that, you know, session in the morning, and I don't train for long. I train for 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes max. Some sessions are 15 if I'm just doing a, you know, bodyweight circuit or, you know, run around the block or something like that. You know, one of the things that people think is like, you know, they need to, you know, do 60 minutes, 90 minutes. They need to do, you know, 40 minutes of weights and then finish with a 30-minute cardio session. No, just get what you need to get done. You know, as long as you're doing something, that's all that matters. If you need to catch up on that extra bit of, you know, fitness or extra routine or workout in the afternoon and that's what you feel like you have to do, then by all means do it. But just do what you need to get done. I know many of people out there who I would class as some of the fittest and healthiest people I know who literally do 15, 20 minute body weight session per day, every day, and eat like a champion. And, you know, they're ticking goals left, right, and center. Their confidence is sky high. They look amazing. They feel amazing. And these are people that just do body weight stuff at home. So, you know, you've got to really sit down and work out, what are my goals? What am I training for? Am I training for longevity as a father? Am I training so that I can continue to be fit and healthy and be an inspiration to my kids and, you know, do that for the next 20 years? If that's the case, then start small. Maybe you never get to a, you know, 40-minute length session. Maybe it's always 15, 20 minutes. But depending on what your goals are is obviously going to depend on what you need to get done. But if it's just general health and fitness and general, you know, generally doing stuff because you want to live for longer and be, you know, a better role model for longer, then seriously consider getting up earlier in the morning and sacrificing that extra, you know, episode at night or movie and, you know, see how it changes your life. I guarantee you'll hate it for the first week, but since when was anything that is meant to be, you know, hard or get you closer to the goals, you know, going to come easy? So guys, give it a crack. I honestly think if you're not doing it, it will change your life. You'll feel like a chore for a week and then it will just become the normal, you know, routine for you. And it will honestly be one of those things that you take into the rest of your life and it becomes a habit. It becomes something as a sticking point that you can just maintain for the rest of your life. And it's something that won't need to be adjusted. You know, you don't need to worry about missing that session and flogging yourself in the afternoon because you missed one. If you have a day off or you have a break or you miss it because of a sick kid or a newborn or whatever the case may be, then so be it. Life goes on, continue tomorrow, and it just keeps ticking forward. So guys, that takes me into comparison. Now, a lot of things that go on in the world, we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people, whether it be comparing to our friends' jobs, comparing our house to someone else's house, comparing our kids' milestones to another kid's milestones, or success to another kid's success. And, you know, one of the things that I see so much in dealing with thousands and thousands of fathers every single day is people consistently changing their goals, dreams, and aspirations to match that of friends, acquaintances, family members, work colleagues, you know, school, you know, parents, whatever the case may be. And they're constantly changing the goalposts on what they're trying to achieve in life because of what they're seeing everyone else achieve in life. They're forgetting about what was once important to them. They're forgetting that the life that they're living now, they probably wished for 5 years ago. And 5 years ago would be thinking that they're absolutely crushing it if they could be in the position they are right now. The issue is that we never really sit down and acknowledge and appreciate and, you know, enjoy the success of the goals that we set for ourselves. You know, 95% of the time that we do stuff, we're in the journey. We're consistently ticking off milestone after milestone to get to this goal that seems like it's just a never-ending thing. You know, for example, I lose 10 kilos of body weight. Great, I get there. But now once I'm there, I want to add more muscle on, or I want to, you know, if I run my fastest 2 kilometer time, now I want to do it faster. You know, the thing is with goal setting and milestones and, you know, this is tying back to comparison, I promise you. It's, you know, we're never really truly happy with, you know, where we get to. It's human nature. We always want more. We always want more for ourselves. But then because of, I guess, social media and because of the highlight reel that that is, we want more of what other people have got that we don't currently. Even though it may not be in the same synergy or same realm or same direction as what we're going in, we want that as well as every other thing that we're working towards. We want the perfect body. We want the perfect car. We want the perfect, you know, house. We want the perfect, you know, success for our kids. We want this, that, and everything else. But the problem is we're trying to tackle 10 different things at once because we're consistently comparing ourselves against 10 different people and 10 different avenues that they're traveling in. So with the comparison, guys, you need to really take a step back. Really refocus on what is important to you. What is it that you're chasing? What is it that's going to make you a better father, a better leader, a better role model, a better example for your whole family? Why is it that you keep seeing all these shiny objects from everywhere else and losing your focus on the goal that is in front of you and then slowly starting to take all these different deviations off the course that you're already on, in which you know you're happy when you achieve? So start really being careful with how many different extracurricular activities you are doing to try and chase that next shiny object and the one that's going to, you know, lead you astray from where you need to be as a father and as a leader to your own children. The next thing I wanted to touch on is the last 4 years. Look, 4 years ago, we were in COVID. We're in lockdowns. We're in, you know, riots. We had this, that, and everything going on. So in the last 4 years, our children have experienced so much. They've experienced lockdowns, potentially loss of jobs. They've experienced, you know, all their freedoms taken from them. They've experienced, you know, the parents being stressed, you know, not knowing, you know, what to do, all these different health precautions, you know, can't do what they used to be doing, whether that be sport, whether that be travel, whether that be school, you know, eating out at their favorite restaurants, whatever the case may be. Then all of a sudden, things go back to normal. Their life switches once again. And guess what? Things are normal once again. They're playing sport. They're going to school. They're visiting friends, family, traveling, you know, and then all of a sudden, the world goes into some sort of financial stress. And, you know, with rising interest rates and, you know, cost of living and everything else, the kids are now being pulled back from those extracurricular activities that they were once used to, you know, 2 years ago and also 6 years ago, and, you know, and being stopped in between there, you know, because unfortunately, and this goes from everyone, everyone's having to, you know, hold back on those, that extra spending because of, you know, interest rates, for example, or because the cost of living or the cost of groceries or the cost of flights, fuel, you know, sporting activities. You know, the first things to go are all these little creature comforts. And, you know, these are the extra things that don't necessarily, you know, they're more a comfort. They're not a necessity to the family dynamic every week. So one thing I want you to do is just be cautious with your kids. And especially if they're at that age where for the last 3 or 4 years, they've got a base understanding of what's going on in the world. And they've got this sort of uncertainty about, well, 4 years ago, I was living a normal life. 2 years ago, I couldn't do anything. And now I went back to everything. And now I'm back to, you know, not being able to do anything. You know, worry about explaining to them, you know, what is going on in the world, why you can't go for your normal pizza night on a Friday night, or why you can't go on that holiday that you promised them 2 years ago when the world was shut down, and really understand it from their point of view. It's easy for us to digest everything and understand and, you know, work out why the world is going, but our kids, whether we like it or not, have been through so much uncertainty over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, and, you know, their brains are just not understanding to the capacity on what, you know, we understand of what's going on. So, you know, try and keep everything within the four walls of your house as normal as possible. You know, there's going to be stressful times for you and your partner. There's going to be stressful times, you know, financially, emotionally, mentally, physically. And it's a matter of just keeping that household, you know, dynamic as normal as possible to limit those outside influences. The other thing is, and probably ties back into filling up your own cup, you know, the last 4 years and also, you know, the comparison game, is maybe you need a break from the socials. Maybe you need a break from living in that fantasy world. Maybe you need to immerse yourself in the real world. Immerse yourself in the children's imagination. Maybe you need to just take a step back and have a breather and not try and achieve 436 different things at once in the hope that that dream, you know, job, opportunity, offer comes your way. Maybe you need to just take a step back and just, you know, play a game of chess with, you know, the outlook that you've got for your own life and just be a bit smarter with your decisions and not run into everything blind. The other thing is, I want everybody who is now 16 minutes in listening to this to go and get a blood test. Now, I'm a prime example. I put it off for about 2 years. Now, my reasoning was, you know, why do I need a blood test? I feel amazing. I look amazing. I'm training every day. Like, I'm fit and healthy. Well, I don't need a blood test. I'm feeling fantastic. Well, I finally got one. Had a high liver, high cholesterol, and a few other issues. You know, and what prompted this was some, you know, illnesses with, you know, close friends and family members. And it was sort of just one of those things that prompted everyone in my immediate circle to go get tested and just to, you know, figure out what is going on internally. Because the one thing you can't hide from is your blood work. It's going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. How you react to that, well, that's on you. But you cannot hide from what your blood is telling you. So I would rather you find out now if there is an issue, even though you might feel absolutely amazing, then get 6 months, 12 months, 36 months down the track and realize that there was an issue and you never did anything about it. It's such a simple process. And you know the reason why I didn't get mine done was because I take a pre-workout every morning before the gym and I had to do a blood test fasted. And by doing a blood test fasted, meaning one, I had to miss my gym session. Two, I couldn't take any pre-workout to give me that caffeine boost to start my day. And that was my excuse for 2 years. Now, if I got it done, you know, 2 years ago, whenever I was meant to get it done on the original referral, I could have been on top of everything that I currently have wrong with me that I'm now working on getting, you know, increased, you know, results from, and, you know, being so much further down the track. But it wasn't until something, you know, negative happened to, you know, family member, you know, an illness got put upon them, that it forced us to all actually do something about it. So guys, don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait for that negative thing to happen or that event to happen that forces your hand to, you know, prompt you to go do something. Book it in over the next week. Go to your GP, get a referral, and get your bloods done. It could be the one thing that saves your life, because there may be an underlying issue there that you know nothing about that could be the getting on top of it right now could be the difference between, you know, 5 more years of amazing time with your kids or, you know, in 5 years time having, you know, severe health issues. What I've achieved for myself since my blood test in, I think it was about mid-February, is about a 7 kilo weight loss. That's probably, you know, the most notable difference. Obviously comes with that is my increased fitness, because I'm not carrying around 7 kilos of extra weight, and I'm actually feeling, you know, more motivated, you know, both physically and mentally to, you know, maintain my, you know, fitness every morning. I've also tightened up my diet, and I ate well 80% of the time, don't get me wrong. But I have a sweet tooth for chocolate. Easter doesn't help. Just gone. And I love having a beer on the weekend after, you know, I've done a heap of yard work or I've gone out and caught up with a friend. So that hasn't changed, to be quite fair. But I've just tightened up on what I eat during the week and making sure it's the right food. The calories may be the same, but 1,900, you know, 2,500, 3,200 calories of shit food doesn't give you the same results as, you know, 1,900, 2,400, 3,200 calories of the right food. And working out what that right food is for the problems that you're facing. And I went and seen the dietitian and worked out the, you know, my perfect breakdown of macros, you know, in regards to, you know, the carbs, the protein, the fat that I needed to, you know, be hitting daily, and what were the best types of food and what foods I should avoid and what foods are going to be, you know, better for heart health and what foods are going to be better for, you know, this, that, and everything else. So if I could pass on one thing, is become better at setting habits for yourself. Become better at understanding where your body's at from a blood work perspective. Be better at understanding where the best time is for you personally every day to get your training done. And be better at understanding your goals, your missions, and your pathway through life and how you can avoid the, you know, the trap of comparison against others. If you want to know more, you can go to the website. We have got a program on there. I'm not going to shove it down your throat. You need to want to make change yourself before any program will ever help you. But it has got the habit tracker. It has got the nutritional component. It has got workouts. And it has got constant support from myself. So if you want to look at that, head to www.thefitdadlifestyle.com and you can check out everything that's involved in that. Guys, hope you enjoyed the first episode back in a very long time. I think it's about 12 months since our last episode. And I want to just thank you all for being supportive of the brand over the last 4 years and supportive of everything that we've been working towards, whether that be through the supplements, through the online training, the coaching, you know, the posts, you know, the content, the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. It's been an amazing ride, and we finally feel like we're back at that stage where we can go all in on the Fit Dad lifestyle. We're refreshed and we're motivated to keep, you know, pushing that message of encouraging you to be the best leader, example, you know, and you know, father for your kids, because ultimately that's what matters. We want to help shape the next generation, and by doing that, we're going to start with you guys, because if we can pass that message on to you guys, naturally it's going to flow onto the kids. Have the most amazing day. I hope Easter was fantastic, and we'll speak to you very soon. Thank you.